That's the one I would like you to pull out now. The one that has got columns and boxes. Okay? If you don't have, raise your hand. I've got a few copies here. Now, this is what I call a pre-evangelism exercise. You actually don't present the gospel, but this is in order to pick the brain of another person. Where does this person come from? What is his worldview all about? What does he believe in? What makes him tick? And this exercise would help you determine that. Now, I will never recommend to you anything which I have not tried, tested and proved that it works. And this works. The best place to do this, jokes apart, is Tim Hortons. You know why? If you invite a person to church, 9 out of 10 times there will be a no-show. But if you invite a person to Tim Hortons at your expense, they'll come. And I have taken people to Tim Hortons several times. I was doing a seminar like this at a church, and after I finished that week, I got this envelope in the mail. And I opened, it was all Tim Hortons coupons given by a lady in the church. And she said, "I'm so excited at what you are doing. Here are more coupons to take more people to Tim Hortons." So,
if there is a table, you have to go to the
second cup. Second cup, okay. Right. Good, thanks for mentioning that. Thanks for mentioning that.
We have
Tim Hortons now. So I phoned this lady and I said, "Lady, you've got it all wrong. The purpose of the seminar was that you will learn to take people to Tim Hortons and do this." And I quickly added a PS, the coupons won't be returned. And you know what? The same thing happened in a Chinese church. I went and spoke, and a guy came up to me and said, "I want to give you some Tim Hortons coupons." And in the mail, he sent me $30 of Tim Hortons coupons. So people are very happy at supporting what others are doing, but somehow or other they are reluctant to do it themselves. Now, what do you do with this test? Now, please don't take this document with you when you take your friend out there. They'll get the shock of their life. All what you need to do is just a blank sheet of paper. Now, all you carry this Bible with me. It's a Gideon Bible. And one good thing about this Bible is it has got a nice hard cover, so that even if I'm standing somewhere, I can write on a piece of paper. And I always carry blank sheets of paper in my Bible, because I'm always prepared for God to bring some person to me so that I can talk to them. And I always make sure I have a pen that writes. Because pens have the funny habit of not writing at the most important time, right? I don't know about you, but that's warfare for me. So I make sure that the pen writes. So basically what you do is, you take your blank sheet of paper and you would draw these three columns. Okay? The first column is the question that you are going to ask. The second column is your opinions. If the word belief is a bit strong, just say your opinion. I'm just interested in knowing your opinion or your view on this particular question. And the third column is for you to give your opinion or view. Now, a word of caution. Christians, generally speaking, are very quick to finish the third column. We want to tell this person what we believe. This exercise is an exercise in listening. So you're going to let your friend do bulk of the talking. And you are going to just respond in a very concise, brief way. Okay? I did this with a Hindu priest and his wife. And we sat at a table for 2.5 hours. With sweat pouring down our foreheads, we worked through this document. Actually, I was doing a seminar at a church on Hinduism, Sunday evening, when this priest showed up. That's how I got the contact. And a very, very gracious man, he and his wife. Now, question number one. It's the question of origin. How did everything come into existence? Okay? Question number two, identity. Who am I? Question number three, the whole question of purpose. I mean, that book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is a bestseller, runaway bestseller, even among non-Christians. Why? Everyone is asking this question, purpose. What is the purpose of life? I'll never forget a funeral that I went to. A 40-year-old guy had died. And a guy from the other end of the funeral home came running to me. He was a casual acquaintance. He held me by my two arms and he said, "What is the purpose of life?" Okay? So it's a big question. Purpose of life. We did this door-to-door. And we saw people in their 70s scratching their bald head for answers. You would have thought they would have figured it by now. They didn't. So it's a big one. The next question is the whole question of evil and suffering. As you look around, you see a lot of suffering. The tsunami came recently. Why? What's causing all this suffering? Do you know that a whole religion started on that one question? Who knows what that religion is? One whole religion started on that one question. No? Buddhism. Buddhism. Siddhartha Gautama was a prince. He was living a very sheltered life in a palace. And one day in his late teens, he decided that he was going to take a walk in the town. So he got hold of his servant Channa, and both of them took a walk. And he was absolutely horrified by what he saw. He saw a corpse, he saw an old man bent in two, he saw people begging. And suddenly he realized, my goodness, I am living in a world of illusion in the palace. People are suffering. And I've got to find the answer to suffering. And that's when the big great renunciation took place according to Buddhism. Where the Gautama, the prince, left the palace and went to find the answer for suffering. And to make a long story short, he was seated under a tree, a very unique tree, meditating in deep meditation when he got the answer. And a whole religion started. It's all based on suffering. Okay? There is suffering in the world. The cause of suffering is desire. If you extinguish desire, suffering will cease. And how do you extinguish desire? The Eightfold Noble Path. That's Buddhism. And by the way, Buddhism is very popular now in North America because it relies on self-effort, meditation, reincarnation, no belief in God, and Hollywood has embraced it big time. Actors like Harrison Ford are big advocates of Buddhism, so it's closer home than you think. But Eastern religions are making a huge revival in North America. New Age movement, Islam, Buddhism, the Hari Rama, Hare Krishna movement. Okay, so it's happening right at our doorstep. That's why we've got to be educated on all these religions to know how we can respond to them. So, the question of evil. The next one, I'm fighting shy of this word salvation, so you can even use the word solution. If there is suffering and evil, is there a solution to it? Okay, is there a remedy? The next question is the one on the afterlife, destiny. Where do I go from here? Do I come back as a cat or a dog? Reincarnation. And the final question is source. Where did I get all my information from? These answers, are they subjective or do they have an objective element to it? Okay? Now, get your friend to respond. They may take time, they may struggle, they may blurt out some answers, but let them talk. And when you have heard them, you write in one sentence what you think you heard them say and read it back to them. Is this what you said? Finish the whole exercise with them and then say, look, I would like to give you my answers. And in a very simple way, without using any big theological, evangelical jargon, you should be able to write your answers. Okay? Now, the whole purpose of this exercise is to prove something. So let me show you. By the way, I did this at a church and I got an email. That's why I put my email right at the top there so that you can respond to me with how things have gone with you. I got an email from a lady in a church. She was alienated from her dad for many years. Dad never comes to church. So when she heard this seminar, she decided that she was going to call her dad and invite him to Tim Hortons. And she was going to do this exercise. And so she prayed, she invited her dad, and the dad said, yes, I would like to come and have coffee with you at Tim Hortons. And while they were at Tim Hortons, she took a blank sheet of paper and said, Dad, you know, I would just like to walk you through some questions. Would you mind giving some answers? And she walked him through these questions. And at the end of the exercise, the dad started crying. He said, "This is the first time in my life somebody has forced me to think about some critical issues." And he asked permission from the daughter to take the paper with him home because he wanted to give it more thought. She sent this email all elated. First time in her life she has been able to break through to her dad and on spiritual issues. There was another guy from the same church who sent me an email. One day after work, he looked at his colleague who was a Muslim and told him, "Are you free for about 1 hour? I would like to take you to Tim Hortons." So this guy said, "Yeah, I'm free. I would like to come with you to Tim Hortons." So they are walking down the corridor. And suddenly the Muslim guy asks, "Why do you want to take me to Tim Hortons?" And he said, no, I just like to ask you some questions. I like to get a feedback." And so they walked a little bit more, and then Muslim guy said, "Questions like what?" They got only as far as the parking lot, and for 1.5 hours they worked through this exercise. And my friend was saved expenditure at Tim Hortons. So God is good. So again, I'm just saying all those stories just to say it works. You've got to try it. It works. Okay? Now, why are you doing this exercise? Whether you have recognized it or not, this is the view that many people have today. Now, that is why we say that we are living in a very pluralistic society. Here is God on top of the mountain. You can reach the summit of the mountain through a wide variety of paths. Right? There is no one way to get to the top. You can climb to the top using different paths. And so here is God at the top of the mountain. Hinduism is one way of reaching the summit. Buddhism is another way. Christianity is another way. Islam is another way. So it doesn't really matter which path you choose. The key word, the operative word, is the word sincere. Be sincere in what you believe and sincerely follow the path that you have chosen. And hey, we are all going to make this wonderful discovery that we were all after the same God, except that we arrived at Him through different paths. That's pluralism. So this exercise will help debunk that. How? Look at your observations. Your first bullet under observations, write the words mutually exclusive. Mutually exclusive. What do we mean by that? Both these columns can't be right at the same time. If your view is right, mine has got to be wrong. If mine is right, yours has got to be wrong. Mutually exclusive. Your second bullet, superficial similarities but fundamental differences. Superficial similarities but fundamental differences. Now, what do we mean by superficial similarities? If you take any region, here are three areas of similarity. Okay, if you take any region, three areas of similarity. Everyone has got a holy book or books. Okay, Hinduism has several holy books. Everyone has got holy places. So in every religion, people go on pilgrimages to these holy places, and everyone has got holy days. Right? Christmas, Easter, Deepavali, Ramadan, okay? Everyone has got holy days. So these appear to be the superficial similarities. You know, what's the big deal? We are all common in these three areas. But fundamentally, at the core of the belief system, they are radically different. Okay? So if someone comes up to you and says, you know, all religions are the same, I have had that statement made to me countless number of times, and I long for people to make that statement. Why? It opens the door for me to do this exercise. I said, okay, fine, come here, let's sit down. Let's work our way through this. And at the end of it, they themselves are going to realize the two are not the same. Okay? So, as you talk with people, you are going to discover some isms. So let me just give you some definitions there on these isms. Syncretism is the attempt to mix truth with error. the attempt to fuse all religions into one. Okay? That's syncretism. Many years ago, that was the trend here in North America, syncretism. Let's try, get all the religions together and let's fuse it into one nice big whole. Okay? Didn't happen. So today people have gone for pluralism. What is pluralism? All opinions are equal and valid. Your opinion is as good as mine. So who are you to come and say that Jesus is the only way? That's good for you, but for me Krishna is the only way. So let's stick with it. That's pluralism. Secularism, God is no longer relevant. God is no longer relevant, so let's marginalize him. Let's marginalize him. Happens in our society big time, isn't it? Humanism, man is God. Man is the measure of everything. Humanism, man is God. My mind is God. Young people love to come and say that. Okay? Inclusivism, this is gaining a lot of popularity today, even within Christian circles. God is so merciful that in the end, he is going to embrace everyone. That's inclusivism. God's mercy is so great that it's going to encompass everyone, regardless of what they believe. Okay? And exclusivism is what we believe, and this is what gets us into a lot of hot water. When we come and say the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way, John 14:6. Acts 4:12, he is the only name by which people can be saved. And 1 Timothy 2:5, he is the only mediator. Only mediator between God and man. Now, those isms are just for your, it's like a reference file. As you talk to a person, you can figure into which camp they would fall into. Okay? So, basically, all what you are going to do is just these columns. That's all you are going to do. And then you are going to jump right to the question at the bottom of the page. Would you like to know how you can have a personal relationship with God? I can tell you from experience, 9 out of 10 times, you have aroused their curiosity so much that they will give you a hearing. I'm not saying they'll agree, but at least they will give you the platform to articulate your faith. And that's when you've got to have a method ready, which we are going to do next time, 2 methods, and you need to jump right in and do your gospel presentation. Okay? Any questions?
Yes, sir. Homework.
Oh, this is the homework. Yes. Big time. Okay, big time homework. Okay. The question is, I mean, how can you really start this off? You know, how can you get into the belief system of a person just like that? Let me give you 2 suggestions. If you
track evangelism carefully, the most effective evangelism, generally speaking, is based on relationship. If you forget everything else today, if you remember this one word, you've got something. Relationship.
If you have a relationship with a person, and if it is a good growing relationship where there is a lot of trust, they are prepared to listen to what you have got to say. I have seen that many times. Okay, now, within the Tamil community, I am perceived as a guru, holy guy. Now, I can be a terrible rascal, but I am perceived that way. So, that automatically opens doors for me, which you may not necessarily get. Okay? So, I am one up with regard to you on that. And so, my responsibility before God is all the more greater. Okay? I'm welcomed into Hindu homes with open arms. Amazing. Christmas time, we don't go carol singing to Christian homes. I'm like a George Werber, you know. I think we Christians waste so much of time putting on these cantatas and dramas, countless hours, props, and who comes and watches all this? Dear old grandma who knows this story so well. Now, I'm not criticizing it, but do you see the... You know what I love to do Christmas time? We call up our Hindu homes and say, we are coming carol singing to your homes. and we give them a time, and we take about a team of five, and we go to this Hindu home. And you know what they have done? Two things. They have invited their neighbors, their relatives. And then there's a table in the corner loaded with food. These are Hindus, purely because of the season. We capitalize on the season big time. So instead of, even though I'm tempted to come for a cantata, I come up to the door and then I say, no, I'm going to a Hindu. And I go and spend time at a Hindu home. Okay? So for Christians, what I do is I buy them a nice Christmas musical and I say, now you sit with this in front of your fireplace and you chew walnuts and enjoy the music. But for me, I would anytime love to go to a Hindu home. But relationship is the key word when it comes to reaching out to people. The second word I want to stress is the word spirituality. Today, this is a very popular word. I was at a home one day, and it was actually a funeral home, and there came this guy. He was supposed to be the boss of the person who had died. And he was half drunk. I could get the strong smell of liquor. And then I got introduced as being a pastor. And this guy said, looked at me square in my eyes and said, I am more spiritual than you. So I said, no, I'm not going to debate that. It was a statement he made to a total stranger. Why? This word spirituality. People are talking spirituality. What that means, no one knows. But they are talking. So that's why this exercise helps. If you want to reword this, retitle this, what is your spirituality? You can retitle it that way. What is your spirituality? I like to know your spirituality, and I'll give you an opportunity to know my spirituality. And hey, you go. You take off. Okay? Nigel.
So when they tell you one point, do you tell them early?
No.
Or at the end?
At the end. After the question. We respect them. We give our answers. They have finished their answers, I have given my answers. And when I go to the question, would you like to know how you can have a personal relationship with God? And if they say, yes, I would like to know, you go with your gospel presentation. But if for whatever reason they say, no, not now, then you respect that. Okay? No, two benefits. Number one is, at least one main benefit, for the person to be able to take this back with him or her, and at some point be able to reflect on it, because it is written down. Yeah. You're doing it on a blank sheet of paper with all the columns drawn by you. See, we are living in a very visual society. When I meet with a person and take a blank sheet of paper and draw columns, immediately the eyes pop wide open. Why is this guy going to go through this? You have aroused their curiosity. Rather than give out a tract, which I do, by the way, tracts, I believe in tracts big time. But rather than give out a tract, okay, from a distance, because you're scared you might get bitten. You know, this is a more face-to-face, saliva-to-saliva kind of contact point. Okay? But I take my word for it. I have done this with lots of people, and at least in my case it works. And I know from others who have testified, it works. You've got to have the courage to try it.
People like to talk to you about themselves, you know, like what they believe.
Yeah. Exactly.
When you ask them about what you believe, and keep writing down what they believe, like people like that.
And they know that you're respecting what you're saying. The fact that you took time to write it down and to read it back to them and say, have I heard you right? Okay? By the way, there should be another sheet that should have come into your hand which has what is called survey questions.
There's a question here.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, no. If they basically conclude that they are a secularist and God is no longer relevant, you still will ask that question. Would you like to know, if God does exist, Would you like to know how you can get to know him personally? So you can reword the question a bit differently and see how the person responds. At least for politeness sake or curiosity's sake, they would respond.
Make now, you should have
got a survey question.
Yeah, we are from the one.
Ah,
we are from.
We are from, that's the one. Yeah.
Okay,
ah, that's the one.
Please, the we are from.
Point.
Yes. I mean, if you're having an informal conversation with somebody, they're probably going to say after each one, what do you think? You know?
Then you answer. Yeah.
So you do answer.
Yeah. Be sensitive to the situation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, nothing is rigid here, nothing is set in concrete, and you are the best judge as to how you can change things and be flexible, okay? So that's a good point. If they like to know your view, after they say their view, by all means, go with that. Now, this is, this survey sheet, this is what I call a survey sheet, is a modified form of the worldview questions. And what we did, I forgot to bring that today, but we actually put this into a small card. And we trained the people in the church to go door to door in the neighborhood and to use this survey sheet. So this is how it would go. We are from Leaside Bible Chapel and we are conducting a community survey in the neighborhood. Would you mind answering a few questions? And again, please take my word for it. I have trained churches in this. I have personally gone with people door to door and it has worked. You might come across a rare person who might say, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I can't take time now. But generally speaking, they would. And that introduction is very important. It's an honest introduction. You're saying you're directly from the church and you're interested in a community survey. And now look at the questions. Number one, are you interested in the subject of spirituality? Number two, do you attend a place of worship? If so, how often? In your opinion, what is the purpose of life? Number four, do you think this world will end one day? Do you believe in life after death? In your opinion, who is Jesus Christ? Remember, you identified yourself from the church. So that's a pretty appropriate question to ask, because you want to know the opinions that people have concerning the person of Christ in the neighborhood that you live in. Would you like to know how you can have a personal relationship with God? I once, when I did this, the door was closed and there was a lady on the other side of the day. Who are you? So I said, I'm from the church, in the community, I'd like to ask a few questions. Questions like what? And then I began with number one. Are you interested in spirituality? Yes. And believe me, we went through all the questions. The door still was shut. I couldn't see the person on the other side of the door. But enough curiosity had been aroused that the lady kept answering all the questions. And then, when I came to question number seven, she said, yes, I would like to know how I can have a relationship with God. So I did a gospel presentation with the door shut in my face and came to the sinner's prayer. And I said, would you like to pray the sinner's prayer with me? Yes. Word for word, she prayed it. And then at the end of it, I said, I would like to leave some literature for you. She said, yeah, leave it by the door, I will pick it up. Amazing. Amazing. Once met a Muslim guy from Lebanon and went through the question. Same thing, you know. And did the whole, he said, yeah, I would like to know how to have a relationship with God, and did the whole gospel presentation. He didn't do the sinner's prayer, but we came right up to that. And he never once challenged me on what I believe. So amazing. You will have some great stories to tell when you go with the survey sheet. Now the survey sheet works best if you do it door to door, two by two, biblical method. So usually we pair a guy off with a lady just to give a level of comfort. And then you would go and knock on doors. And usually we found that a Saturday morning after about 10:30 is the best. People have got up and people have finished their breakfast and they have a little relaxing time. This particular church once, I think a couple of times they did it after the morning service. They encouraged people to bring a bag lunch And after that, around 2 in the afternoon, they went door to door. And we started late spring, so the weather was pretty good, and did it right up to early fall. Blanketed a whole area, door to door, with this method. So, something I would like to recommend. Okay, so the worldview exercise is ideal one-on-one, and the survey one, door-to-door, two going at the same time. And of course, you will need to have a good, what do you call those boards? Clipboards. A nice flat clipboard on which you can place this, and you can write it. And then if they choose to give their name, you write their name. The address you already have because the number is on the door, so you don't even need to have it. And in case you like to do follow-up, and in case they are willing to give their phone number, even the phone number. And quite a few people are willing to give their phone number. We were amazed at that. And guess what? Some of the people showed up for service when we invited them to come for the service. So in our minds, some or other, we have kind of written all this off. You know, these things are not going to work, you know. These are old-fashioned stuff. Who is going to take time to? No, it does work. People are relational. They like somebody coming and chatting with them. Now, there are other times I just take a sports approach. So, especially this works very well with young people. So, I went to the prison the other day and saw this guy at one of the bars. I said, bars of the prison. I said, what's your name? And he asked me for something. So, I said, what's your name? He said, Mohammed. What country are you from? Mohammed, Pakistan. And I immediately launched out into cricket. Wasim Akram and Abdul Qadir and Imzamamul Haq and Imran Khan. His eyes just bulged right over. Oh, those are great cricketers. And then he said, which country are you from? Sri Lanka. Oh, you have got some great cricketers too. Dulip Mendis and Sanath Jayasuriya and Muthiah Muralidharan. And boy, we spoke cricket for about 10 minutes. And then I said, I would like to ask you a few questions. And he responded. I went to a bakery the other day. On the Danforth and Victoria Park, went to buy some bread, and discovered those two guys who were there from Pakistan. Again, same approach, started with Wasim Akram, and for 15 minutes we were talking cricket, and then gently I wove the conversation around, and I said, yes, I'd like to give you something. They were working, so I couldn't do a survey. I said, I would like to give you something to read, and next time I show up, could we talk about it? Sure, tell her, give us. So I had won them over with the cricket language. So pace to know cricket. Good for you. Contacts? Yeah. I would say late spring and into summer, and in summertime people automatically come out of hiding onto the open, right? People will come and sit your neighbors. If you want to ever do this method with your neighbor, summer is a great time. When you see your neighbor seated with a cup of coffee by the side, puffing away, just go and take a seat next to him and say, you know, that's bad for you, you'll die soon. No, no, you don't say that. Yes. Scott, is it? No.
Taking exercises. Yeah, good.
Now, so do you think you can use the worldview approach on someone over this coming week? Because next Saturday as we meet, we are going to have a reporting time. Testimony time. What do you think? So this is, I think, it's a good long time. If I was George Gerber, I would have said, I want answers in 24 hours. Right, and Nigel has volunteered. They are under George Werber, yeah. See, now he's going to do this today itself. George Werber training, right? Nice. Smiling away. Yes.
Casual acquaintances.
Yeah.
So people you don't know.
Yeah. But since you mentioned JWs, let me say this. The JWs have made a lot of their converts because of the door-to-door approach. I know from within my own Sri Lankan community, a lot of our Hindu people have been affected because the JWs took the time to go knock on doors and to talk to people. And you know the message that has been communicated, you cared enough to come and tell us this. Very interesting. We cared enough that we were frozen in our churches. We didn't leave the doors of our church. But the JWs cared enough, regardless of the weather, to go knocking door to door, and they have got their converts. So, my point is this, yes, the relationship method is the ideal because you have ongoing contact. But as our sister pointed out, there will be times when your contacts will be very casual. You may meet them at in the subway or at a function or something. But as the whole, be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I think that's the lesson I want to really get across. And the Holy Spirit might prod your heart to initiating a conversation with a person and gently directing along spiritual lines. Because even if they misunderstand it, from God's point of view, you have done the right thing. Okay? And who knows, God can use that conversation later on in their life to trigger them to coming closer to Christ.
Sean, I can just add something from our experience. Probably here with more North Americans, right? The same way Ben is talking about how people in North America are like, snacks 15 minutes, church is over, whatever, people are less likely to, to talk to strangers. But once you get into the ethnic folk that Ben is talking about, they're relational, they'll sit and talk to you. It's okay to talk about religion. And like I said, so last time when we were at Fireboro, afterwards we went, Rachel, Elijah, she's from Oakville. She said, we go knock on doors all the time, nobody talks to us. And she was in somebody's house down the street from Bridewell for an hour and a half. And she's like, this is incredible. So I think if we're smart with the ethnic thing, we can say, hey, look, you're from Somalia. You're naturally going to talk about religion. You are more relational. And so it's kind of easier. So I think that's kind of something that can go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they are well trained, so they know how to talk. But that's a very important point that Sean made. I hope all of you got it clearly. People from the East, the culture and the religion are closely intertwined. You can't separate the two. Closely intertwined. And a person of the East, you can ask without any apology a question on religion, and that person will consider it a great respect on your part to have asked that question. Now, North America, we have to test the waters first. So I go up and say, so what do you think of the NHL season? And shame, isn't it? It got cancelled, and couldn't Wayne Gretzky have done something more? And you test that, and the guy is happy with that kind of talk, and then you say, in your opinion, who is Jesus Christ? And then you jump back. You got a violent reaction, so you jump back and say the baseball team, that's North American evangelism. Okay? Unfortunately. But not so with a person of the East. So I would say, with the Lord having brought all these different nationalities and religions to our doorstep, I think the time has come for us to really reach out to the people of the other faiths. That's why I began by saying, you've got to have non-Christians of other faiths on your outer circle. And where do you make those contacts? Your workplace primarily, your neighborhood, social functions. You know, in the prison ministry, Toronto is, just go along Eglinton, and when you hit Birchmount, you get that huge prison. I've been amazed. Now, that's a maximum security, all-male prison. And one day I noticed this Muslim girl who was working in the office there. And there's a little chapel, and that chapel is used for all the religions, everyone comes and does their thing. And here we were all men inside this chapel one day. I was just getting ready to go to the different floors to visit guys. When this lady walked, it was a Friday, she walked right in, rolled the prayer mat on the ground. She didn't care who was around, she was going down on all fours, worshipping Allah. And I was amazed. A girl in an all-male maximum security prison, in a chapel where all the people were men, she couldn't care who was. It put me to shame. That's the religion, which has such a powerful grip on them. And so, as we reach out in love to them, they will be able to respond also to us. And by the way, another point, if you give any literature to a person of another religion, and they look at you and say, I would like to give you some literature to read, never say no. If you say no, you've lost it right there. Because courtesy and honesty demands that if I give them something to read, I should be prepared to read what they give to me. And that will again provide wonderful ammunition for us to be able to interact with them from their point of view. Now my son, when he was a little younger, he went by school bus. School bus is another beautiful thing for context. So the lady who drove this school bus was a Muslim lady from Pakistan, Mrs. Khan. You know, with all the headgear and all that, lovely lady. So when Christmas came, you know, we miss out on opportunities at Christmas, you know, God forgive us. When Christmas came, we got a basket and we put a lot of goodies in it and we surrounded the goodies with tracks, very carefully chosen tracks. And so on the last day of school, before the Christmas break, Jonathan got into the bus, I came behind him. Of course, Jonathan had the packet, and I said, Mrs. Khan, this is a little gift from us to you, Christmas, so we would like you to enjoy. She said, sure, thank you, and took it. So January came along, and I had to call her over something. She said, you know, thank you for what you gave us. I read through everything that you had put there, and straight from the horse's mouth, our two religions are radically opposed. Bingo! Mountain, ting ting. I didn't even have to do the worldview. Just by reading the tracks, she came to that conclusion. And so we spoke a little bit more, and now I got more courageous. She has read all my stuff. So I went to my room, and now I took booklets and put it into a nice large envelope, stuffed it, sealed it. Lord, please use it to touch Mrs. Khan. And next morning, then she said, I have some literature I would like to give you. Would you read it? I said, sure. Anything you give Mrs. Khan, I will read. So next morning, I took this huge package and got into the bus and I said, Mrs. Khan, more reading for you. So she smiled, took it. But unfortunately, she got transferred to another route. And that was the last time that I saw her. But again, the point is, the opportunity, we put something into her hand and she read. So, I'm encouraging you to really reach out boldly to the people of the other religions. If you meet a Hindu, my goodness, Hindus are the most accessible, easy to reach people. Muslims, you've got to be a bit careful at times, depending on whether they are the radical element or not. Hindus are not like that. They already have embraced Jesus as another God. Okay? So, talking to a Hindu about spirituality and about the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful, wonderfully easy. I'm making it look easy, but it is. So if you bump into a Hindu, by the way, people of other religions and other cultures, we've got to learn their names. So when they give a name, Siva Prakasam, you look at it and say, take time to learn those names, because those names have meaning to them. And next time when you meet them and you say, good morning, Mr. Siva Prakasam, they are astonished. You remember the name, you are pronouncing it to the best of your ability, and you are showing interest in that person. You know, I've been to a lot of churches, and most of the time, people murder my name. My name is one of the easiest names, and it's an unforgivable crime in the church, at least from my perspective. You know, my name is a very, very interesting name.
And I thank God for my parents for having named me thus.
Now Benjamin is the easy one, so I just put the B in the middle.
My first name is Weber Mason, and my last name is Weber Dawson. So a lot of the Canadians call me Davidson. I'm not Davidson, I'm Weber Dawson.
Okay? They look at it and they say, oh, Davidson.
No, no, it's not Davidson. Deva is the Tamil name for God. Mason is the Tamil name for lover. So my first name, I am a lover of God, Deva Mason. My last name, Deva is again God. Dasan, servant. So I am a lover of God and I am a servant of God. That's my name. And I treasure it, I value it. So when somebody comes and says, hi, Mr. Davidson, how are you? Guess how I feel. So when you learn, when you are reaching out to other cultures, Muslim names are very easy. Ali, Muhammad, Jalil, very easy. Hindu ones are the big Kalyana Sundaram Pillai. We had a lady whose name was Kamala. That's a kind of an easy name, Kamala Devi. And the Canadians said, no, we can't call you Kamala Devi. They called her Camel. Camel. Kamala and Camel. Camel's an animal. Another very popular Hindu name is Kannan. Okay? Kannan. And Canadians said, no, we can't say Kannan. We'll call you Canon. So can you see how everything gets cut down? So watch the naming carefully. That's another way of showing that we care for people. I want to show one more thing. Oh, this is the one. We have handed out to you prayer requests for the Islamic world. There should be a document there. It should say prayer request Islam. It could be a colored one too. Got it? Good. Now, in my opinion, if you're going to become a prayer warrior, I would really like to see you become a prayer warrior for the Muslim people. And to the extent that you and I pray, God is going to work. I can't explain it, but that's how scripture teaches it. And I have listed some points that you can use as you pray for the Muslim world. In fact, right now I want you to do something. Point number one, identify Islamic countries and pray for God's touch on these nations, that these people will come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And I've just given you a sampling of countries. For each day of the week, if you can pray for one country by name, so you can list 7 Islamic countries of your choice, and if you commit yourself to praying for that country for that particular day, that's a very good start. And then keep your eyes wide open, read the newspapers, watch the news, to see what's happening in countries like that. And that's the cue for you to change your prayer language for that particular country. And then I've given several other prayer requests there, but when it comes to number 11, write down the names of Muslims that you know and begin to pray earnestly for their salvation. This is now coming down home. Maybe Muslims at your workplace or in your neighborhood. So you need to write their names down and you need to begin to pray. And look at point 12. Pray that the head of the home will be touched by the power of the gospel. Entire families can be won if the head is touched. If the father figure is touched in a home, the whole family can open up for the gospel. So we need to zero in prayer for the heads of families, that God will touch them and move in their hearts, so that we'll have opportunity to impact the whole family. So that's another thing that I would like to challenge you over this coming week. Okay, to start it, to launch it. We also have copies of this magazine. Sean has some and I brought some.
This was actually put out by SIM, and this is an excellent reference tool. Excellent reference tool about the various religions. In a very concise format, you have a page on each religion. So when you talk to somebody and they say, oh, I'm from the Sikh religion, then you just turn to the Sikh page and you get a rough idea of what that religion is all about. So this would be an excellent reference tool, okay? So make sure that at least one family gets a copy, and Sean will have some copies, and I also have some additional copies, okay, on that. By the way, the best place to learn about the other religions is your local library. You go to your local library, go to the religion section, and go to the children's section, and you will find lovely books with pictures that talk about the other religion. So if you are really serious about wanting to know about another religion, that's another piece of homework that you can engage in. Picking up some books and reading, making your own notes, maybe photostepping some pages, and then you can gain some knowledge on the other religions. I also have a tract here. Unfortunately, I don't have too many copies. I have just three here with me. But this tract also is titled Connecting with the Divine, Is There a Difference? And what this tract does also is give you a little bit of an idea of the different religions in a very simplified format. And what do they believe in about God? What do they believe about salvation? And a very useful tool which fits into your pocket and you can read at a moment's notice. Okay, so I'll leave those three also for your reference. So I've given you a lot of stuff. And next Saturday only Sean might show up. This is a huge risk we take, Sean. So God willing, next Saturday we meet at the same time, 10 o'clock.